Once, a few years ago, a fellow came to me, and he said, "Pastor, everything is falling apart in my life. Everything is falling apart in my life. I've lost everything, lost it all." He said, "It's just all falling apart." "Well, Bob, take care of the job after, please. Everything is falling apart. I've lost everything." And then he said, "Pastor, what's wrong?" And I said, "The fact that everything is falling apart is simply because you've got the wrong stuff holding it together. That's the whole thing. Is your world falling apart today? It's because you've got the wrong stuff holding it together." Colossians 1:17 says, "By Him, Jesus, all things consist." And that word "consist" means, by Jesus, all things are held together. Now let's face it, folks. We all have about the same material in life. The difference is not in the circumstances. The difference is not in the events of life. The difference in you who are pulled together and you who are falling apart. Young girls, listen to me while I preach. You are pulled together and you are falling apart. The difference is not life's circumstances or life's events or activities or possessions. The simple truth is we all have about the same of that. The difference is what holds it together. I'm falling apart. My world is falling apart. What is it? You don't have the right thing to hold it together. In 1951, I became pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church of Garland, Texas. I have built a building. It cost $13,000. I won't go into the story that I've told you before about not putting any heat in the building. I was a contractor, and I forgot to put any heat in the building. Dedicated the building, and I forgot about the heat. And I won't go into that embarrassing story, but one of the most amazing things happened. The building was new, shiny. We were very proud of it. It cost $13,000, all it cost, but I was proud of it. And it was just a simple little four walls and a roof and a few rooms, but I thought it was pretty and neat. Our first rain came, and I came to church the next morning. It rained all night. To my complete surprise, our new building had water in it that high, that deep. Boy, I was so mad at the fellow who put the roof on. I had helped put it on, and I had put the stuff you put under the roof, the tar paper or something. But I called a roofer and I said, "Listen, our new building, water is on our new tile floor, and streaks are down our wall. Come out here and do something about this roof." He came out and put a new decking on top, and we cleaned it up. I never forget it. I worked that day sitting up on top of my desk with my feet up on top of the desk, too. I couldn't even sit in the chair because water was that high, up past the ankles. So, got the roof fixed. A few days later, rained again. Came to church that morning, water was up past my ankles again. I couldn't understand it. We had a brand new roof on. He'd put a new decking on, covered that with, tar, and covered it with tar. And water had to work on top of the desk. 2 days had to work on top of the desk. And while it rained, finally we got brooms and swept it out. And I called him again. I said, "Get this roof fixed." We even added to the roof. We added an overhang. We thought maybe that the water's coming in the roof at the side, the top, you know. So we put about a 2.5-foot overhang and took care of it. We thought that'd take care of the leak. Brand new building. A few days passed, rained again. A few weeks, rained again. Water was up to my ankles. I walked in the building. Had to sit on the desk to work. Couldn't understand it. What's wrong? To make a long story short, I found out that we had not put any water-repelling stuff in the mortar. Any bricklayers here? Any bricklayers? No bricklayer? We haven't got bricklayers in the church.
Any you ladies in the choir?
Where is he? Where's a bricklayer? What do they call that stuff? It's put in the mortar to keep it from water from seeping through. But it's some stuff you mix in with the mortar. Well, I had mixed the mortar with just water and the stuff that, you know. So the bricklayers told me, said, "What'd you put? Did you put any water stuff, water repellent or stuff in the mortar?" I said, "Didn't even know you're supposed to." We had to come back and, what do you call it when you put tuck point? We had to come back and do the whole thing over again, and then we had to put water repellent stuff on the outside of the building. What was the trouble? Had good brick. What was the trouble? Had a good roof. What was the trouble? Had good walls. What's the trouble? That which held the brick and building together was no good. And that's why you're falling apart, too. And that's why you're planning a nervous breakdown. And that's why you're about to crack up. And that's why you've got to take nerve pills. And that's why you've got to go to the psychiatrist. Most of these psychiatrists I know need to go to the psychiatrist. That's why you're upset. That's why you. I told the folks a while ago. I was up in Norman, Illinois, preaching this last week, and I stood to preach. And boy, when I first started talking, a fella started shaking his head like that. I thought, boy, man, that guy likes me. Shook his head like that. All the time I was preaching, shook his head like that. Boy, I tell you, he turned me loose. Next morning, there he was, sitting on the front row, shaking his head. Everything I said, shook his head. That night at the service, and nobody ever helped me preach anymore than he did. Boy, the hell of a guy just like that is a great blessing. And I told somebody after the service, I said, "Man alive, that is fabulous. That man just such a..." They said, "Yes, he has palsy. He trembles all the time like that." Some of you folks got it, and you do like that all the time. But what a help. That's why you got it. That's why you're shaking all the time. You know why? I'll tell you why. Nervous. That which holds life together, you don't have. Now you listen to me. By Him, Jesus, all things consist. And you won't have a happy life till you have Jesus holding everything together. Oh, you may have a thrill every once in a while. You may get a little tipsy occasionally and wee for a while. But after you're going to wee, you're going to ooh after a while. I mean, it won't last. It just won't last. Let me tell you folks that come to church one Sunday a year or one Sunday a month and come in every once in a while to pay God a little tip and honor God and drop by and say howdy to God and walk out and not come back in next Sunday, you mark it down, your life's going to fall apart. You're not going to stick together. Why? By Him, Jesus, all things consist.
Amen.
That's your trouble. Now, we all have the same materials. We all have the same trials. We all wait on the same trains. We all pay the same taxes. Don't forget tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow's April 15th. We all drive through the same snow. We all lose loved ones. We all live on the same planet. We all breathe the same sun. We all face the same burdens. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation," and that word temptation means trial. "There hath no trial taken you but such as is common to man." We all face the same problems. The difference is not you have it worse than I have it, or he has it worse than she has it. The difference is not what you have. The difference is what holds it together. What by Him, Jesus, all things are held together. And that's what you need. There's a sweetness. And I was thinking this morning, I'm so glad I don't have to borrow counterfeit thrills from the devil to have a good time. These fellows on the platform know, most of them know. I walked in the office a while ago and some little girls, and they're not rich little girls. I'm sure bus kids waiting to see me. And one had made me a little makeshift Easter basket and had a few Easter eggs in it. And one gave me a little chocolate Easter bunny. Of course, I'm sure it's calorie-free. And one little girl, she gave me a half a dollar. And I said, sweetheart, you keep that. She said, no, I want you to have it. And I walked in the office and I told Dr. Billingson, Brother John, I said, see that gift? Russell Anderson called me Friday and said he'd give at least $100,000 to our building, to our new college fund. But I said, that little 50-cent piece, and by the way, Russell will hear this on tape, and he knows I'm not ungrateful, but that little 50-cent piece right there is a greater sacrifice. Let me tell you something. I'd rather belong to the family of God, held together by the blood of Christ, and have that kind of love and devotion than to have anything I know in the whole world. I told Dr. Billings, I said, Doc, I'd rather have that than a new car. And I began to weep, and he said, I'll take you a new car if you want to get rid of it. I wish you knew. I wish you knew. Isn't it amazing? The only area in which we haven't got enough sense to use the last generation's discoveries is in the Christian area. The last generation gave us some nice washing machines. We don't go back with an old black wash pot and stir our washing all day. We accepted what they learned. The last generation gave us air-conditioned cars. We don't go back and drive an old, riding old Model T Ford down the street, putting the spark, using the splitting of the spark and filling up the gas tank back in the back and cranking in the front. Why? We take what the last generation learned. We have nice stoves. We don't put wood in the stove anymore and stir up the wood and put some kerosene on it so it'll light up. We don't do that. Why? The last generation learned something about stove. Every generation has learned the devil never makes anybody happy. Why have we got enough sense to learn it and believe it? By him, all things consist. Back to the fellow. Everything's falling apart. I've lost everything. And I said, when did you get your cancer? He said, what? I said, when did you get cancer? He said, for the house. Do you know something I don't know? I said, I don't know what you said. When did you get your cancer? Well, he said, as far as I know, I don't have cancer. I said, I thought you said everything. You lost everything. Thought you'd lost your health. Well, he said, no, as far as I know, I'm well. I said, oh, I see. I said, then, where is your wife buried? He said, my wife's not buried. My wife is not dead. Oh, I thought you said you'd lost everything. I said, did you have insurance on the house before it burned? Why, he said, my house hasn't burned. Has it? No, I don't know. All of what you said you'd lost everything. Did you have insurance on the house before it burned? Why, he said, the house didn't burn. I don't have cancer. My wife's not dead and the house didn't burn. I said, you said you'd lost everything. I said, how long does the baby have to live? Well, he said, the baby's not going to die as far as I know. I said, you said you'd lost everything. I said, When are you going to go to the penitentiary? He said, well, how's I'm not going to go to the penitentiary? I said, if you're well, and your family is well, and you have a house, and have conveniences, in God's name, you haven't lost everything. Amen. I said, go home and get two pieces of paper, and on one side, write down the good things. In fact, we did it there. Write down the good things on one paper. Write down the bad things on the other. Your trouble is not circumstances, dear friend. Your trouble is you don't have Jesus. That's your trouble. Oh, you say, I'm saved. I'm not talking about being saved right now. I'm talking about that Jesus holding your life together. Falling apart? Why? By him all things consist. Nerves falling apart? By him nerves consist. Health falling apart? By him health consists. Church falling apart? By him health consists. Church consists. Home consists. Love consists. By him, you don't have to fall apart. Amen. You get to pull it together and you'll be okay. Oh, if I could reach out, I was thinking this morning how helpless I feel. I know what it is that makes folks happy. I've been dealing with folks for 29 years almost. I know what it is. I know what causes heartbreak. I know what causes life to fall apart. I know what caused everything to go awry. I know. I see it. I know. The answer, brother, that your life is starving for is Jesus. I thought Mrs. Leah began to sing a while ago. I wish I could sing like that. Well, I wouldn't want to sing like that. Jackal. I'm not the right gender, but I wish I could sing. Every time I sing, it comes out, but it just don't come out right. Every time I imitate anybody, it sounds like a Jew. But I thought, how sweet, shackled by a heavy burden. And then he touched me. He touched me. He, God's Son, touched me and made me whole. How can anybody that's been in the world all week come and hear that kind of singing without tears coming in your eyes? How can anybody listen to the garbage all week long? All week long. Bunch of heathen, barbaric, medicine man, wild Indian, kind of garbage. How can anybody live in a world like that and come and hear sweet voices singing, "He touched me! He touched me! And oh, what a joy filled my soul! He touched me! Something happened when he touched me. He touched me and he made me whole."
Amen.
How could anybody with right sense want the world when you can have that? Jesus holds everything together. Now, see, Brother Hiles, how do you get him to hold it together? All right, there are three looks I want you to take this morning. First look I want you to take is the inward look. Second look I want you to take is the upward look. Third look I want you to take is the outward look. And if you'll do it, you can walk out those doors with Jesus holding everything together, and you can call off all your falling apart and all your pulling apart of your life. In the first place, the inward look. The inward look. What does it mean? Look inside. Look inside and see what you see. You know why people are so busy nowadays? They don't want to stop and look inside to admit they're miserable. That's why you don't like to be alone. That's why when a storm comes up, you've got to be with somebody. That's why when a tornado comes, you've got to get with somebody. That's why we don't like to be alone anymore. We like to be always busy. Across the alley over here, they got a, what is it, an Elks Club? Across the alley. And I'm not mad at the Elks if they just learn to be act like, and all that herky jerky kind of junk going on over there. You know why they're doing it? Hi chop chop chop, hi chop 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 chop. You know why? If I chop 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 and keep loud enough, I won't have to think about what a crook I am. Hop chop 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 chop. If I can keep hopping chop chop, I won't have to realize how miserable I am. If I can get a drink right quick so I can forget it, if I can take some dope right quick so I can get it, or if I can go to a movie right quick and get my mind off life so I can forget it, well, bless God, you come to Jesus who holds all things together, and you can be happy with the problems of life and in the problems of life. You won't have to escape. You can find reality. You will have enough through Christ, all that you need to face reality. The inward look. Look at yourself. What do you see? Sin. What do you see? Unrest. What do you see? Life falling apart. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Girls back in the back, you sit still and you listen while I preach. I'm going to come back and toss you out that door. Girl, you look at me. Hey!
Amen.
You need what I'm talking about. It's that kind of behavior that's ruining this country today.
Amen.
Folks have got the idea. Young people got the idea. I want to live it up. I want to listen to rock music. Sure. Blare it as loud as you can. Turn it way up loud. As loud as you can get it. And louder and louder and louder and louder. And maybe you won't have to think about what a sinner you are. Maybe your conscience won't hurt you so much. Introspection. Look inside and realize you can't save yourself. You can't make yourself happy. You can't make yourself have joy. You can't pull yourself together. That comes from Jesus. By Him, all things consist. After you've looked in the inward look, we used to sing a little song here. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Every time we'd mention the Bible, raise the book up high. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. The inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old book. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. After you've looked in, look up. That's one of the problems in this old world. We're looking down. Look up. Look up. In the ark, there was one window. It wasn't in the floors. It's at the top. God said to Noah, I don't want you to see the world. I don't want you to see the flood. I don't want you to see the dead bodies on top of the water. I don't want you to see the carcasses. I don't want you to see the dead animals. I don't want you to see dead friends and loved ones. I don't want you to see debris on top of water. I want you to see the sky and the sun and the beauty of the heavens. And in this old sin-cursed world, you're not going to be happy till you start looking up. You're not going to look down at the old nightclub down the street and be happy. You just look up. Just keep looking up all the time. All the time. The upward look. When I was a paratrooper in World War II, I took my training, and one of the first things they said was, when you stand in the door of the plane, never look down. Because if you look down, you won't feel led to go out. Always look, they said. You hold your hands like this. And they said, when you stand at the door of the plane, your foot, just barely ball your foot at the edge of the door. They said, look toward the horizon. Never look down. Just look toward the sky out there. Folks, if you look down today in this old sin-cursed world, you're going to find a heap of disappointment. A lot of it. Just look up. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I got disappointed in Christians and I quit the church. I know, but you look up, you'll never get disappointed. But you say, somebody didn't speak to me in it. One fellow said, I've been absent from this church for several months, and I only have two people even contact me. Quit looking out. Look up, look up, look up, look up. That's where you'll find joy and peace and happiness. By Him, not by it do all things consist. Not by them do all things consist. By Him do all things consist. Look up. People say, Brother House, how can you be so happy all the time? Many folks hate you. Who hates me? Yeah, a lot of folks hate me. One little girl wrote me a letter, and she said, I love you in spite of the fact that nobody else does. I know a lot of folks hate me. But one of the blessed peace things about it that brings peace, to coin a slogan from a fellow I voted for one time, in their heart, they know I'm right. There's not a person in this room this morning living in sin, but what knows I'm telling you the truth? You won't admit it, but you know it. There's not a person in this world looking for peace in the world who's found it, and you know you haven't found it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in your heart. And when you turn from God and walk away from God, there's something in here that beats that will not be satisfied. You put God back where He used to be and where He ought to be. By Him, all things consist. All things consist. There's a third look I want you to have. Inward look, look in you and see what you need. Upward look, look up and see Jesus. The third look is the outward look. The outward look. Don't look out till you look up. For when you look in to see that you cannot give yourself what you need, you look up and find from God what you need, then you take it and look out and help others to find it. I travel every week. Every Monday I check into a motel room somewhere in this nation. I'll be in Maryland tomorrow, God willing, checking into a motel room there. More Oklahoma, near Oklahoma City the next week. Last week I was in Norman, Illinois. Week before that, I was somewhere, Southern California, Los Angeles. First thing I do when I get in the motel room is open the drapes. I hate a motel room. If there's a window I can see out, I want to look at it. Why? I want to look not in, but out. I want to live not for myself, but for others. I want to think, what's in it? Not what's in it for me. What do I get out of it? No! What can I give to somebody else out of it? There never has been, and there never will be, a person to find happiness living for himself. Never has been, and never will be. The happiest people I know are those people. Would you say, Jesus? Like I said at the college the other day, I shocked the college. I had a strip tease at the college. I said, give it all! Took the change out of my pocket and threw it on the floor. Give it all! Took my billfold out, threw it on the floor. Give it all! Took my keys out, threw them on the floor. Give it all! Took my coat off, threw it on the floor. Give it all! Took off my tie, threw it on the floor. I started unbuttoning my shirt, and then I said to the student, if you think I'm going to streak across this campus, you've got another thing coming. I'm not going to do it. But that's it. Give it all. Give it all. So I just got to put something up for a rainy day. What you don't know is it's storming right now. See, the rain that makes you unhappy is not being broke. The kind of rain that makes you unhappy is heart rain. You know, listen, you're the happiest nation we've ever had. It was back there when everybody had a plow and a mule and a garden and faith in God to send the sunshine and the rain at the proper time to give us to germinate our crops and give us our needs. We had faith in God. Our grandpa didn't have any, he didn't have any ulcers. Did you ever hear of a dog dying of ulcerated stomach? Only people haven't got enough sense. Always nervous. What can I get? 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 I've got to get it so I can be happy. Dying all the time. Trying to get it. I'll 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 get it. Yeah, you got it. Miserable, selfish kind of a life that will not make you happy and will not give you what you're looking. And that is the every evasive pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You'll never find it. You'll only find it when you come to Jesus and say, I'm going to live God for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live in this Bible. I'm going to live for God and give my life to God and somebody else. And then you will find what you're seeking in the world and won't ever find. Somewhere in our nation years ago during the frontier days, word came to a family that their little girl had been lost in the woods, in the wilderness. Father was grief-stricken. Mother was grief-stricken. The father knew that out in those woods, hungry leopards were lurking. He took his gun, decided to go out in the woods and try to find his daughter, little girl. Tears streaming down his cheeks, his heart broken, almost all hope already gone. He took out across the fields to the woods to try to find probably the dead body of his little girl. He came to a cabin in the wilderness, a little cabin. He knew some children lived in that cabin. He heard some children crying. He noticed a pack of leopards, a bunch of leopards outside of that little cabin. The man knew those little children were scared to death because of the leopards on the outside. But he must seek his own daughter. His own daughter is somewhere out in the woods. Her little body may be lying now. Just the bones, the flesh haven't been eaten by hungry leopards. But he must try to find his own little girl. He saw the wolves and heard the cry of the children, but he went on his selfish way. To forget those children, he knew he could help. Try to find his own little girl. His conscience became guilty. He soon turned around and realized that, okay, I'll forget trying to find my little girl. I'll save the lives of those children. He took his gun and got to a strategic place and lifted his gun on his shoulder and shot the leopards that were threatening the lives of those frightened children. He went to open the door to see the children whose lives he had saved. And the first word he heard was, Daddy, the first girl he saved was his own. He put his head in his hands and wept as he said, I found my own when I saved the others. I found my own when I saved the others. I found my own when when I saved the others. You know, you'll forgive me for saying this. Lester Roloff stood in Corpus Christi, Texas, the other night. And he said, if Dr. Jack Hiles has anything to brag about, it's not his church. He's got a great church, but he said the first thing he has to brag about is his children. I know they're not perfect, but Becky is married to a preacher. David is a preacher. Linda and Cindy are looking for preachers. You know, one reason I think God has let them be what I think are sweet, good, Christian, dedicated kids. Because I've been working on others' kids all my life. I've been trying to save your kids. I've been going up and down this country for years trying to save somebody else's kids.